Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, this is Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, April 11, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're working with others. We're on page 90, second paragraph, starting with, if there's any indication, ending with, if the tables were turned. So, our readers today. For the steps, we have Tenzin P. For the traditions, we have Melissa G. Reading the text, Nancy R. Page 164 at the end of the meeting, Katie G. Our backup readers, Judith S. P. Newcomer greeters, Tony B. Second hour host is Jeannie B. And Kathy S. is handling the announcements. Our share IDs for yesterday, Thursday, April 10th, 2025. 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,334. That's 22334. 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that number is 22,335. So it's 22335. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. And there are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from eating compulsive food behaviors and to carry its message of the recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Tenzin P. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up with the 12 traditions is Melissa G.
Hi, this is Melissa G. in Michigan. Okay, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thanks, Denton. Thank you, Melissa. Appreciate your hand on that for us. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on a direction for recovery described in a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from Nurtured and stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 on mute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study in the big book, Working with Others, chapter 7, page 90, second paragraph. If there's any indication that he wants to stop, if the tables return. Sorry about that. I'll repeat it again. I'll let you know where we're at in a little bit. So now, I believe it's Nancy R. is going to start us off with the reading.
Yes, good morning. It's Nancy R., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northwestern Illinois. If there's any indication that he wants to stop, have a good talk with the person most interested in him, usually his wife. Get an idea of his behavior, his problems, his background, the seriousness of his condition, and his religious leanings. You need this information to put yourself in his place. You see how you would like him to approach you if the tables were turned. Oh, I need this information to put myself in the other person's place to see how I would like to be approached if the tables were turned. What I hear this paragraph saying is that I need to get to know this person. The way I can relate to this is when I start working with a newcomer or approach someone who I think might, or someone approaches me who might be showing indications that they want to stop compulsively overeating or binging or starving. The person that I talk to is that person, and I listen. So what I get from this paragraph is I need to listen. My first job is to listen, to hear about the person's behavior, their problems, their background, how serious their condition is, their religious leanings. So some of the things that I hear as I work with people is, you know, what their thoughts are about God or higher power. And how this disease manifests in them, and how it affects them, the seriousness of their condition. And then I share with them those things about me. And they don't have to be the same, but we find common ground. And we, and I learn from listening how to, you know, approach them. Someone who doesn't believe in God and doesn't have a concept of a higher power, I'm not going to start, you know, telling them about how my beliefs are, because that's not important. What's important is that I meet this person where they are. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Nancy. Appreciate it. All right, so we're going to open up the lines for sharing on this paragraph. And although we value your experience, I ask that you limit your share to every third day. I need your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. And can do one at a time. It helps me hear everybody better. And
Melissa C.
All right, so there was someone before Melissa.
I'm sorry, Janet. I interrupted you.
Katie D. from Boston.
Janet B.
Janet.
Nadia E.
Katie B. Nadia. But there was someone before.
Katie B.
I got you, Katie.
Oh, okay.
Onida S.
What was that again? One more time. I'm sorry.
Onida S. O. N as in Nancy. E. I. D. A. S. Thank you.
Onida S. Onida. All right. Look, I didn't get the one before Melissa C. So we're going to start with Melissa, and then you.
That's Liz S.
Okay, now we got the one before Melissa C. Liz, all right. Who else would like this? Yeah, I got you.
Thanks.
Natalie S.
Natalie. All right, let's go with that. Let's be ambitious here. So Liz S, Melissa C, Janet B, Katie G, Nadia B, Onida S, and Natalie S. All right, Liz, you're up.
Thank you. And I'm sorry I stepped on your words earlier when I said my name. I didn't know you were not done. This is Liz S, recovered compulsive eater in Portland, Oregon. The thing I wrote in the margin with respect to this paragraph is the word listen in all caps with an exclamation mark after it. And I feel that one of the very most important things in this life is time, is the time we give other people, because it surely is something that we don't recover if we spend it unwisely. That's the thing in our lifetime that we have a finite amount of. And if we are willing to give them our time to listen, that is a valuable gift. And I know it means a lot to somebody, you know, the first or second time, especially the first time you talk to them, I talk to them, is that it's, they need to feel, I think, that another person needs to feel heard, and they need to tell their story a little bit, get all these things. I agree that these days We don't try to find their wife or their husband or their partner, but we just talk to them and mostly listen. I think that the phrase active listening is a really important phrase. It means purposefully participating in what they're saying and trying to let it touch my heart and get some of God's inspiration to be able to respond to them well and meaningfully. So that's mostly what I think, and I will pass. Thank you, Russ.
Thanks, Liz. I appreciate it. Next up is Melissa C., followed by Janet B.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, before I jump into the paragraph, I want to thank a lot of people who have reached out to me the last week and or so, because I lost my mom last week. And I also am just really grateful for this meeting, for the structure of this meeting, because I might not have been sharing, but I listened, you know, and it was just part of my daily routine, part of, you know, brushing my teeth, washing my face, getting dressed, packing my food for the day, and listening to a meeting. And I'm just grateful to be back here again. For me, it's really rare to speak with a family member before speaking with a person. I have. It's never really gone successfully. It's usually been someone reaching out to me about their daughter. And I'm not, you know, that's just not the best way for me to reach a person. But when I do speak with someone, you know, it's usually women who reach out to me. They hear me share, you know, and they pick up the phone and they call and they text and they say, you know, are you available to sponsor or can you sponsor me? And I never tell people yes or no outright. And I'll tell them, I'm not going to say yes or no outright. Let's get to know each other, you know. And what I do is I usually meet someone on Zoom. I think it's really nice, you know, and important to see a person, to have a conversation eye to eye. You know, and so I can see physically how is this disease manifesting itself in a person. But I'm not interviewing to see if I like them, you know, because the requirements for sponsorship, it's not compatibility. You know, it's not like, oh, I like you and now I'll be your sponsor. But because I generally like most people. So it's not likability, but I want to know, do you really have a serious problem? And are you actually interested in stopping? Like, not just interested in losing weight, not just interested in, a temporary fix, but are you ripe for transformation? And so I ask a lot of questions, you know, like, what does it look like when you're eating compulsively? Tell me about your eating. You know, I ask questions to find out what consequences they've endured as a result of their eating, you know, weight gain, have you dieted a lot, you know, do you exercise, just all kinds of questions so that I get to know the person. And I think, you know, it's because we're talking about people, not projects. People are not, like, when I work with somebody, it's not, you know, yes, it's so that I stay recovered. It's so that I, you know, maintain my abstinence and recovery. I know I'm out of time, but it's really so that I can help a human being, one person. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Melissa. Sorry for your loss. All right. Next up is Janet B., followed by Katie G.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. Just there's any indication he wants to stop. So that was me. I went to my first Overeaters Anonymous meeting, right? I think pretty much anyone who walks into a meeting, it's an indication they want to stop. And I walked up to this woman and I just said, will you help me? And it was just like, take two food plans and call me in the morning. There wasn't any getting to know me, my patterns, my anything. And of course, I couldn't stick to a food plan. because my problem wasn't lack of a food plan, it was lack of power. I wanted to stop. I didn't have the power to stop. And for so many years, no one sat me down and said, your problem isn't lack of a good food plan, lack of knowledge, lack of having a good day or better parents or whatever, lack of having a good boyfriend. I was 17, 16 at the time. It was lack of power. And finally, thank God, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I went to an OA convention and there was a woman who talked to me about that, that even though I wanted to stop, I didn't have the power to stop. And she told me what this program was all about. And it was about finding a power greater than myself that could supply the power that I needed. Melissa talked before about transformation. I learned that this program is about like transformation, not getting a little better, getting through the day without thinking about food. It's like it's caterpillar to butterfly stuff, transformation. And that's the only thing this program offers us, a miracle of transformation through 12 simple but not always easy steps. And when I meet people nowadays and talk to them about sponsoring, I'm like, what are you not willing to do? And often they'll say, I'm not willing to put down the food. And I say, really? Then like, why are you here? And they say, well, I must not be willing to because I'm still in the food. I'm saying, no, no, no. That doesn't mean you're not willing. It means you don't have the power. So are you willing to do everything that you can so that the grace of God can come in and remove this obsession, even if you don't believe in God now? Are you willing to believe that maybe there is and maybe he'll help you? And if they say yes, then that's a person who can be helped. I only actually had one person who, when I asked, if you had a fairy godmother who would wave her wand and remove your food obsession, would you want her to? One person said, no, I wouldn't want her to. And I said, I don't think I can help. But for a person who says, yes, I want God to remove this obsession, even if I don't believe in God now, I'm willing to, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes so that he'll come in and transform me, caterpillar to butterfly stuff. That's what this program really is. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janet. So before KDG jumps up on here, let me let you know where we're at. We are in Work With Others, page 90, second paragraph, starting with if there's any indication, ending with if the tables were turned. All right, Katie, you're up.
Good morning, Russ. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. Katie G, and I am a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. So many great shares. And I just want to throw my hat in the ring. I've been in the rooms of OA for almost 20 years, and it wasn't until like maybe 3 years ago that I did anything but say, okay, can you call me at 6:30? And that's it. Like that was like, can you call me at 6:30? Let's go ahead. And here's like the program. And oftentimes it was the program as I outlined it, not the program of Overeaters Anonymous as outlined in the big book. So I just love that it reminds me today to listen, to find out from somebody else who they are and what's going on for them, that I'm selfish and I don't always care. Like a lot of times I'm like, my thinking is, oh, I need another sponsee so that I can be recovered, so I can stay recovered. And all of that is just real selfish thinking. Another thing I wanted to talk about is abstinence is the action of refraining from addictive foods, but also addictive food behaviors. And 4 years ago, when I was exercising bulimically, you know, if my sponsor hadn't taken the time to ask me what was going on with exercise, I wouldn't have done the steps. I wouldn't have surrendered again. I wouldn't have put on weight. I wouldn't have done any of the things that were so crucial for me in that recovery. And so I just want to echo, too, that it's important for me to identify my addictive food behaviors and identify what's going on with sponsees. You know, this isn't No Sugar, No Flour Anonymous. This is Overeaters Anonymous. So is the sponsee needing to weigh and measure her food. Like, I'm not a dietitian, but I'm somebody in whom the problem has been solved, and it's important for me to get to those addictive food behaviors. The other thing I love is it talks about God, right? Like, if I'm going to start working with someone, you know, I've had friends in recovery who've come to me with, you know, full belief in God and wondering, like, why can't I just get to God? What's going on for me? And, you know, I came into the rooms not believing in God, and that was almost a gift, you know, because when my experience is that sponsees who have this firm belief in God, it's confusing. And what I have found over the years is that, you know, I can't have two masters. Like, if food is my God, then I have no God, and I need a power even bigger to help me to get abstinent, stay abstinent, and work with others. So that's what I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Katie. All right, who's next? Who's next? Nadia B's up, followed by Anita S.
Good morning, family. It's Nadia E. from Toronto, Canada, and I'm so grateful for these instructions, for this textbook that we follow, and I'm grateful for all the shares and all the tips. And, you know, I like the phrase, I like the part of if the tables were turned. So thinking about how would I appreciate being guided and instructed. And one of my sponsees, we are so different. It's funny. And I kind of think her ideas and the way she looks at things are a little bit odd. And it kind of turned me off in the beginning, but I thought, you know what? Like, if this relationship, this sponsorship is working for her, then that's the important thing, right? Like, what is my goal? My goal is to help others. And so I'm helping, obviously, I'm helping her. And last night I was responding to her nightly review. And it's, you know, like my higher power is guiding me. I'm not her higher power. I'm just a guide. You know, she looks to me for my recovery. And I've been in the rooms of OA for over 30 years, and you know, but not fully recovered. But now I like one day at a time, I am a recovered woman, and I'm, you know, and that's all I have to offer. And it's none of my business to judge, to criticize, to think that she's different or whatever. My job is to just, you know, look at what she's written or what she said. And how can I relate to that? And how would I appreciate a response? So, you know, I'm just going to take this relationship one day at a time, and I can surrender and I can pray for her and her spouse. So that's that. And I wish everyone a God-guided day with miracle after miracle. Enjoy. Bye. I love you guys.
Thanks, Nadia. And it was Nadia E, not B. Sorry about that. All right. Next up is Anita S, followed by Natalie S.
Hi, Russ and everyone. Thank you so much. This is Oneida S in Upstate New York. And the thing that stood out to me the most from this paragraph is that sentence, put yourself in their place to see how you would like them to approach you if the tables were turned. You know, this program has made me feel seen in a way that I never really understood or experienced before walking into these rooms just about a year ago in May of last year. And that just makes me think, like, I have the power to make someone else feel just as seen and just as understood. Like, later in this chapter, it'll talk about, you know, if your talk with them has been quiet and sane and full of human understanding. Like, I can understand another compulsive eater the way, you know, a normal eater, like a normal person, cannot. And I think that in itself is so powerful, and it's a gift that God has given me to be of service to other people. As I, for example, like, took on my first sponsee this week and started working with them, this paragraph and this whole chapter is so timely. And today, I have the day off from work, and I'm going to go visit a friend who lives like 4 hours away. And I think she's afflicted with our disease in like a really severe way. It's like I'm Albanian, see when other people are Albanian, just like from looking at them. Sometimes, yeah, I think that I can like see this in her, and it's not up to me to decide, it's for her, but I'm just so grateful to be in a place this weekend to go to visit her and see, like, just be of service to her and be a friend and be supportive. She's in med school and like going through a lot, and to just show her, like, she's gonna watch me, like, she knows I'm in LA, she's gonna see me like weigh and measure my food. And I just feel so grateful to be reviewing this paragraph with everyone right now, and to not have an agenda going in there, but just to seek to understand this person. And yeah, with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Okay, sorry about that. Anita, thank you very much. Next up is Natalie S., and then we'll take another list.
Hi, this is Natalie S., recovered in Indiana, and thanks to everybody for being here. What I was reflecting on with this paragraph was a talk I heard yesterday. I was grateful to be at this conference, which I'm normally not invited to, where some of you who may know of Notre Dame, their football coach came in, and the question was asked of him, you know, how do you approach your team? They were talking about the first loss of the year. How did you approach your players that made real mistakes and get them? And his comment was he needs to understand how each player receives feedback and criticism. So some guys, he tells his other coaches to go in, and they may be able to hear that hard nose, you know, you need to get in there, you need to blah, blah, blah. I don't know football that well. But there might be others that need a softer approach, right? They need to go in there and say, listen, here's the mistakes you made, and here's how I can help you. Here's what we need to work on, and walk alongside them. And that reminded me so much of this paragraph today, because in sponsorship, I need to reflect the spirit of God in me to be able to even be empathetic or see somebody else's perspective if my real goal is their well-being, which I think is what the book is saying, is that our only purpose is to help someone who wants help. And I don't have to like the person. I don't have to ever meet the person. But if I'm not living in a recovered state where I have connection to my higher power, I can't reflect that or be a channel for that to them. When I came in 2 years ago, I didn't need somebody beating me over the head. I'd been beaten up enough by life and people, and I didn't trust anybody. So for me, I needed someone who understood that side of me and had similar experiences. And I was able to see God in her. And so just walking along somebody's side, I feel like they see, as they learn to trust me, and as I try my best to bring higher power into my life and reflect that to them, they learn through these steps to find their own higher power. It gives it gives God a way to enter their heart and their mind as they do the work. I'm not discounting the work. I'm only talking about this connection right here. So, yeah, so whether I call myself a sponsor, a coach, or a guide, I'm there to be of maximum service. And if I can remember that, then I might do some good. With that, I'll pass. Thank you, Russ.
Thanks, Natalie. All right. So we're in Working with Others, page 90, second paragraph. If there's any indication to if the tables were turned, and we're going to open up for Sharon again. And if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Let me know where you're calling from, what the first initial of your last name is, and one at a time, please.
Sherry A. from Ontario.
Linda R. from Florida.
Linda.
Sherry A., Ontario.
I got you. I thought I had my phone muted. I got you, Sherry.
Nicole S.
Nicole. We can take two more, I think.
Judith R.
Judith. And one more. Who else? All right, we're going to go with Sherry A., Linda R., Cole S., Judith R. If you're not Sherry A., please mute your line. All right, Sherry, you're up.
Good morning, everyone. Morning, Russ. Thank you for your service. Sherry A. from Ontario, compulsive person, overeater and everything. This paragraph is, I found it very interesting because on the surface, it seems counterintuitive. On the one hand, it's telling you, talk to family members of the person. If the person seems to be interested, talk to their family or people that are close to them. And then on the other hand, it's saying you want to put yourself in their shoes, right, with that information. As I thought about it, the book was primarily speaking to an alcoholic. And so for an alcoholic, it's easy to see if a person is imbibed, is drunk, then it's easy to see that, right? So it's easy to talk to their family member because it's very visible, or at least it's mostly visible. But for a compulsive overeater, we thrive in isolation. So our family members, close people around us may not be able to see. However, I think that while, you know, it is so important to talk to a person and to get their perspective, to get what they've been experiencing, because only I know my story. I think if God opens the door to talk to a loved one or a family member with that person's permission, I would say, I think that's so important too, because I know for myself, I have blind spots. I may be walking around with a cloud of rain falling over me everywhere I go, and I may not be so cognizant of that. But those that are around me may see things that I may not see. So it's so important, if God opens that door, to also get information from others, because then we are able to listen, to hear and understand, not just listen to respond. When we speak with the person, we're able to listen and receive what they're saying. And then, my, put myself in their shoes. How would I want someone to respond if it were me living their life, right? So I think this paragraph really spoke to me in being able to be empathetic, in being able to hear with my heart and not just hear with my head, and to be able to share where my experience is, but the parts of it that is most relatable to that person, because I now understand from a very well-rounded perspective where they might be coming from. Thank you for allowing me to share with that. I pass.
Thanks, Sherry. Next up is Linda R., followed by Nicole S. Star one, Linda. All right. So why don't we do this? Why don't we jump to Nicole S. and then we'll catch.
Hi.
Linda
good morning.
After.
I was muted. I'm sorry. I was muted. I'm sorry. Hi.
All right.
Okay.
You got
it. Hi. Linda R. recovered in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and I said thank you to everyone and for your service today. So I came into program many years ago. I've been working these steps an entire lifetime, and when the discussion today is. First of all, I feel very blessed that I had the most amazing sponsors. And when I came in, you know, I got the program, you know, with only three steps. And then as I, you know, got into recovery, I went to other meetings. I took different sponsors, and I was just very lucky because what did my sponsor do? Like today, what is my role as a sponsor? And what were their roles as my sponsor? So for me, the most important thing was my ability to be able to talk. You know, I was stifled in my family of origin, so this was my opportunity to express my feelings. And they took, you know, they did that through the venue of the step work. And then as I grew in the program and got a program of more depth and weight, I was able to give back in that way. But, you know, I have all these slogans and acronyms. One of them is I'm a guide on the side, not the sage on the stage. So when I sponsor somebody, I take them through the steps, you know, through the big book. And, you know, I've been in the vision my whole entire program, plus the coffee shop before that. So this meeting has been really the most important meeting in my recovery life. And so I got, even today, like discussing this, you know, also, you know, for me, I have this thing, you know, when I work with people, I, you know, we get to the fourth step. That's when we deal with the family of origin. And that's when they clear out all the rummages of their past. So through that step, but also, the fifth step, oh, my God, it's the most amazing step to be able to disclose and share. So all these steps are a catharsis. But my role as a sponsor, really, is to not be their therapist, to just be listening. If they want feedback, I always ask permission. Would you like some feedback? But my role is to take them through the steps in a timely manner. Now, I've done the steps many ways. Like I've done it 6-month step studies. But for me, the most effective step work is to get them through in a timely manner so they get at least the foundation. And also, you know, I've been going through the steps. Thank God I'm abstinent. I have long-term abstinence, but there were times when I sponsored when I wasn't abstinent. And maybe someone might judge me for that, but all through that, I learned, I grew, and that's what got me today. So the sponsoring for me in step 11 and 12, step 12 is to me the most wonderful gift that I've ever received. And the humility and joy that I get when I take someone through and then I let them go and then they need to take another sponsee immediately. I always recommend it. Go take someone through immediately so you can review and get, you know, your own program of depth and weight. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Linda. Next up is Nicole S., followed by Judith R.
Good morning. This is Nicole S. from Colorado. Thank you, Russ, for your service this morning. And I love the very clear directions in this paragraph, like all of the big book. And I want sponsoring to be easy. I want ease and comfort all the time. I want things to be easy and simple. And I just want a formula, you know, A plus B equals C that I can use every time to make it easy for me. And this paragraph tells me that, you know, we're unique. All of us are unique individuals made in God's image. And we're different, you know, we have different personalities. And so I'm getting, you know, an idea of their behavior, problems, background, seriousness of their condition, you know, their religious background. So I'm really spending that time to get an idea of where they're coming from, you know, and so it says here so that I can put myself in their shoes. And this is, you know, this takes time. It takes a process, and it takes, you know, for me really, really seeking God and, like, what is their background and how can I best help them? Because, you know, I know I feel sometimes very ineffective as a sponsor, and it's something that it's not an easy thing, and it's something that I need to work on. and really let God be transforming me in how I can be more effective as a sponsor. And so I have to get out of the it's a formula, because every person is different. And when I can just really spend that time early on to get to know the person and really try to be in that place if the tables are turned, it's so helpful. Thank you for letting me share.
All right, thanks, Nicole. Next up is Judith R. I think we might have a little time.
Thank you, Russ. Good morning, sisters and brothers. Judith R., gratefully recovered in Vermont. If there's any indication that he wants to stop, have a good talk with the person most interested in him, usually his wife. I'm thinking, what if Bob had been the one coming to Bill instead of Bill being the one that came to Bob? And what if he had talked to Lois first? I don't know how that would have gone, but what it's making me think of is that nowadays we realize that Anne and Lois were instrumental in getting the guys sober, and that then they had their own program. Then Al-Anon came into existence. And the same thing has happened in OA. There is now O-Anon. And I think about all the parents and children of us who are suffering, watching us not be able to stop for so many years. And I wish that O-Anon were stronger and bigger, and I hope it does become just that. With that, I pass. Thanks.
All right, Judith, thanks. So it looks like we could take, let's take two more shares. Who would like that?
Penny C.
Jane F. in New Hampshire.
All right, we got Penny C.
Jane F.
And who else? Jane F.
Jane.
Yep,
thank
I got you.
You.
All right, Penny, you are up.
Okay, good morning. Thank you, Russ, and thank you, everybody who's on the line. Everybody's helped to put this meeting together. I'm Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater. I live in the Boston area. I appreciate all the different suggestions I've heard this morning on the meeting about how to approach a newcomer, what questions to ask, or how to get to know that person. One of the things I wanted to respond to is, get a sense of their religious leanings. And that could be sensitive. So what I found works for me is a very simple question. First, I ask the people, if someone new calls and wants to go through the steps, I will ask them, to just tell me something, whatever they think would be important for me to know to be able to help them. And that opens up a lot of doors. But when it comes to religious leanings, I say, what do you call your higher power? And it's not a threatening question for people I've talked to. And I've had questions like, oh, I don't believe in God. Well, I didn't say, it doesn't say God. Your higher power, you could call your higher power whatever you want. And yeah, it's been an interesting road to help someone to discover. Like, one young woman lived near a canal where she saw the sunrise every morning. And I said, well, she said, oh, and it's beautiful. I said, well, that could be your higher power. But that, just simply asking, what do you call your higher power? And to explain that, if we're going to do the steps, step two tells me that I have to rely on a power greater than myself. So we must have a higher power, but that can be anything that person call a higher power, anything I want to or they want to. So anyway, again, I appreciate all the suggestions this morning, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Penny. Next up is Jane S.
Good morning. My name is Jane S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater.
amazed to hear myself still saying that. Thank you, Russ, for your service, and thank you, everyone, for your shares, and thank you always for everyone's shares. It's my medicine. It's how I continue to live in a recovered state today, to just listen to others. And I never really listened to anybody in my life, because I thought I knew everything, and I thought I could do it. And over the years in recovery and trying to get this program and stay recovered and lose the weight I needed to lose, I just plowed through for so long until I finally fully surrendered, conceded to my innermost self that I was, and I am, a compulsive overeater. And this last trip through the steps has taught me so much about myself, you know, and I'm selfish and I'm self-centered. And where this brought me to this morning in this paragraph was, reminds me of the St. Francis prayer, and it gives me an opportunity to practice my character defects when I work with another person and I listen to another woman. You know, I'm listening to understand, not to be understood, not to respond. I'm listening to comfort. And the only way that I can comfort, the only tool I have is to share my experience, strength, and hope, and how I've gotten to where I am today and how it works. And I have a sponsor who was so gentle with me. She was firm when she needed to be. She still is, but walked with me very gently and helped put my hand in the hand of my higher power, who I now call God today. And it's just amazing. And, you know, I get to sponsor today. I get to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I get to listen to another woman. And it is, it was already said that, you know, I have blind spots and so don't they. And we walk together to get to a place where God is our hero of our story. I love that saying. And I love the fact that we can work together, walk together, grow together by spending time and listening to each other. And so when I start working with someone or decide, you know, try to figure out if we're going to work together, it's about that listening and getting to know that person. And God will reveal whether I am to work with that person or not. And it's a beautiful place to be. And it's a beautiful place to learn about myself, but to learn about others and to walk with them and watch the lights come on in their eyes and hear their epiphanies is just, it's just a beautiful honor to be able to do and be of service. So I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. We have time for one share, actually. One, be perfectly timed out here if we do this right. Who wants it?
Susan A. from Delaware.
Go ahead, Susan.
Hi, my name's Susan A. I'm from Delaware. I'm a compulsive overeater that's in recovery, or I would say recovered at this point. I called into this line about a year ago. I've been a compulsive overeater, I think, from birth. But I was given a sponsor. I chose a sponsor that put my hand in God's, and it's the one thing that I was never, ever given or didn't accept until I got to this point where I am now. I'm 64, and I have 11 months today. I have been given the gift of sponsoring. I had a wonderful sponsor, my second sponsor, who took me through the steps, and to watch my sponsee take someone through the steps has been just miraculous. Getting to know her, you know, I never got to know anyone, to be honest. You know, I was so concerned about myself. But these meetings have taught me so much, you know, coming every morning, making it like brushing my teeth or making my bed. You all have given me the gift. You know, I have tried to use the doorknob. I tried to use everything. But this meeting has really given me the gift of a loving God in my life today that really truly loves me and knows me and unconditionally takes care of me. I've been able to pass that on. You know, it's all about God. That's the one thing that I never wanted to hear. You know, and sometimes sponsees go their way, you know, and they want to do their thing. And All I can do is be supportive and let them heal on their own terms. It's not my job to do it for them. It's God's job. You know, I just am so, so grateful, Russ, for you, for these Fridays, for Mondays, for this meeting in particular, because this is the meeting that put my hand in God's hand, and that's what I've always needed and never had. So thanks, everybody, for being here. I'm grateful, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Susan. Appreciate you sharing, and thanks to everybody that shared. Please join us for another unrecorded hour study after the closing. All right, today's share ID, Friday, April 11th, 2025, was 22,337. And now we're going to end it with a reading from the big book. On page 164, Katie G is going to read, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only."
Thanks, Russ. The vision for you, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. God bless you and keep you until